Hello, everyone. Welcome to our community podcast. My name is Anais Mattis, Health Promotion Specialist with Siouxland District Health Department. So we did take a little bit of a break in December and January, but we are now back. And joining us as our first guest for the new year is Dr. Sandra Granger. So welcome, Dr. Granger.
Thank you.
Dr. Granger is an MD at Unity Point St. Luke's and a pediatrician. She is also on our Board of Health here at Siouxland District Health Department. So thank you for being here today. Would you like to add anything else about yourself, like maybe how long you've been practicing medicine?
Oh, sure. I've been a pediatrician for 15 years, and we've been here in Sioux City for the last 6 to 7 years. We did have like a pediatric hospitalist program. Like I was in the hospital, but now we're just in clinic.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So the weather has been warming up a little bit, but we are still in respiratory illness season. Can you tell us a little bit more about respiratory illnesses?
Sure. So a respiratory illness would be anything that affects like the body kind of through what we consider the respiratory tract would be like the nose, mouth, throat, down through like your big airways that like enter into your lungs and then down through, you know, the small airways at the very end of all of our airways tracts. So, you know, like you experience these as things that like cause you like runny nose and sore throat and cough, you know, and all of those kinds of symptoms.
So why are these types of illnesses more common during the winter?
So we've always kind of given an answer that they're more common in the winter because of the fact that people spend more time in close contact with each other. We're all like more likely to be indoors, maybe less likely to have, you know, as good of airflow because you're trying to keep the heat into like buildings and keep things like kind of just all under lockdown. And I think that there's probably still aspects of that we would still think are true and correct. But we are finding out some other possible sources of reasons that maybe we see a lot more illnesses through the winter. So one aspect of like just kind of our respiratory function that might be affected through the cold weather would be that we have little like nose hairs that are like our primary kind of like source of defense, I guess, like when like dirt or germs or anything come in towards your body, they try to like file those out. And those hair cells can like kind of move and bat things like back away, like keep it out, like don't let it get deeper into my airway. And those can be actually like kind of slowed down through the colder weather so that they don't function as effectively. And then additionally, they did see that the immune system like has cells that are like kind of scattered throughout your nose that try and release kind of like again, like another first kind of like aspect of defense against respiratory viruses and other illnesses. So these immune cells will start like spreading out like, hey, here's like some defense mechanisms so we can stop like from having like a illness kind of take hold and affect us and get us like to where we actually feel sick. But those cells also don't do that job quite as well when the temperatures are lower. And so being outside, or like just having like the air be colder can actually lower the temperature in our nose, you know, when you're breathing in that cold air by like about 10 degrees. And that can have like a significant impact on how well both of those aspects of how our body is meant to keep us from getting sick, kind of how well they actually do that. So those are newer things that we're kind of like finding out, and I'm sure we'll still continue to find out more, you know, like the more that people try and put effort and research into trying to like look at these mechanisms. But it might be more than just we're all like closer together, you know.
Interesting. Yeah, I was not aware of that.
Yeah, so those are kind of newer things that have come out.
So are there more common illnesses or ones that are a little bit more dangerous than others?
I would say the most like kind of like what we consider the classic virus that, you know, causes colds is called a rhinovirus. Kind of like how you probably hear about like influenza viruses, and there's like, oh, there's different strains, and you know, like from year to year they can vary, you know, Or even that, like, you might be hearing about like coronavirus and that there were some other coronaviruses even before, like COVID, which is like the big coronavirus that everyone knows about now. There's like hundreds of rhinoviruses. So, like, you can get sick many times and kind of, it's always can still maybe kind of be coming back to some of the same handful of viruses because there's just strains. They mutate, they change a little bit, and then, like, you're able to like kind of get sick from them again. So that's, I'd say, like probably the most common thing, although I did mention like coronaviruses, which are another thing that we would think causes some of our like kind of common colds that we'll end up having throughout the year. Probably the things that we think of most cause like most significant like illness, like I think in peds for sure we always kind of classically think of like respiratory syncytial virus or RSV. And so that's a virus that really like does continue to affect us throughout our whole life. But typically the first time that we get the illness is just really like boom, you get like your worst illness from this. Or you're kind of, yeah, like your most like dramatic effects and like kind of just the hardest course through the illness, I'd say. But not everyone always has like a really rough time. RSV is kind of like one of the illnesses that we would think of as like a lower respiratory tract infection. So when we think of like respiratory illnesses, some are more kind of concentrated in a lot of the symptoms could kind of generate from the nose and how your nose and your throat and everything kind of feel. And so like when we start talking about lower respiratory tract, it's like, oh, your lungs got it hard. And so that's what happens for a fair number of people when they get RSV for the first time is like kind of how like the mucus in your nose, kind of like you can see it and you can feel it. Like that sort of just is the exact same thing that happens for babies when they get RSV. And so it can kind of plug up some of the airways so that you actually don't have as much air kind of getting all the way through into the depths of the lungs where the oxygen actually crosses into the blood. And it can make it so that it's really hard to breathe or to keep your oxygen levels where we're hopefully always trying to keep them. And so I'd say that's like probably the classic thing within like kids that we think of as one of the most severe respiratory viruses. But I would say like some babies will not have like a really severe course, so it's not like definitive that everyone who gets it will be like super sick.
Yeah, it just depends.
Yeah, it kind of like I think probably depends on a lot of factors, and I don't think that we always even know like exactly like, well, why did this person have like such a difficult time? Sometimes there are like, kind of associations between like RSV and asthma that get kind of like, oh, is it the chicken or the egg? Did you have like a really hard course with RSV so that then your lungs were more like kind of just in a weakened state where maybe asthma was more likely pre like kind of a consequence? Or on the other side, were you already genetically kind of predetermined like that maybe you had a risk for asthma? And so then when you got RSV, like it was just worse than what other people would have had. And so I think sometimes some of those things we don't maybe really know that well yet, but there does seem to be, like some people who are just really have like a rougher go with that. And I'd say the younger that you are, the more worried we are about that. So like, the first 6 months would be like a very critical time, like, oh, if we could avoid this, and so it's great. There's a vaccine that's been developed now for infants. It has often been really hard to actually obtain right now. But I think as we go through like, a few more seasons, hopefully we'll have better access and better like ability to get that out to more infants and hopefully see that we have lower rates of hospitalization. And
Is this like a vaccine where it's like a flu shot where like a child would get it like every year possibly, or is it just like a one-time vaccine?
we would like, so right now it's like, most like that we would like to give it to like the infants in the first 8 months of life. Because again, like usually your first kind of like bout with RSV is going to be the most significant. There are some babies who we would think might have like risk factors who might like qualify for getting a shot through like the second winter that they are like, kind of be expected to be exposed to it. But I'd say after about like that 19 months kind of age, I don't think that there's any further plan. to try and have kids get that. And actually, the immunization is a little different than the other immunization that we give kids, in that it doesn't really generate the person's body to develop their own immunity. It actually just shares immunity to the person who receives it. So it's actually antibodies that the babies receive. And so that's just like there, and over time, because like even antibodies that our own body generate, they kind of like get old and like sort of like go away over time. These antibodies that get shared through the immunization will also sort of like kind of like decrease and kind of become not like a really prevalent like aspect to expect that they will continue to provide protection after. I mean, like the stated time is like 5 to 6 months.
Okay.
Say like influenza and COVID are probably other ones that are high on our radar. And again, they have immunizations that can help us like kind of prevent those.
So how does one go about preventing respiratory illnesses?
I think like washing your hands, you know, covering your mouth. I think washing your hands, especially right before you eat, or like try to avoid touching your face, you know, with your mouth, your nose, and your eye, all being like areas that have mucous membranes where I think those viruses have like nice capacity to enter your body and cause you to get sick. Trying to have your immunizations is a good plan, you know, to try and reduce like your susceptibility to having the illness. Trying to stay away from people who are sick, or try and like, you know, kind of help prevent other people from getting sick, so that if you know that you're sick, to try and like kind of stay away from others.
Yes.
Yeah. And I suppose, you know, it's interesting now, like, I mean, hearing about the stuff about like, you know, the cold weather, like, I don't know if we need to do a better job of like covering our face when we're outside.
Right. Yeah.
But I don't think that there's any like kind of studies to say that that would help. So you don't have to try and do that yet.
Good to know. So then, is there anything else that you think parents or the community in general should know about respiratory illnesses?
Well, like all the things that we've talked about, they're all viral. And so I mean, I guess with the exception of like, you know, COVID does have like medication that's available, and flu does have some medication that's available, you know, like typically we won't think that like any antibiotics, you know, are needed to try and help like improve or shorten your course with these illnesses. Antibiotics specifically help us kill off bacteria that are like, you know, causing problems in our body. And I think that, you know, I suppose like some other things would just be that a lot of times we would think that it could take up to 14 days for a lot of these things to like kind of run their course and to start like feeling like, oh yeah, I've gotten through it and I've gotten better. I think that's especially true in kids, but you know, like I think even in adults, I think like at least a quarter of the illnesses may take like 14 days, you know, to like kind of run through their course. So sometimes it might feel like kind of taking a long time, and you may just have to kind of like still just sort of like kind of keep like trying to treat your symptoms. You know, you can do like some nasal washes, or you know, like use Tylenol and ibuprofen to try and like kind of just not feel achy, or you know, feel the sore throat or the headache quite as much. But probably like you don't have to think of like antibiotics is what you need to try and have things, you know, like kind of improve.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for all of that great information. Before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to add?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I suppose like just to go back to like, you know, when to seek care, maybe like a good time to seek care. Like, you know, usually like fevers would run their course within, you know, like the course of 5 days. But even after like, you know, like 3 days of fever, if you're kind of feeling like, I'm not sure how things are going, like it'd probably be like a reasonable time to say, hey, maybe someone should have a check-in and see how things are going. Certainly, you know, like, if you're ever thinking that it's like really hard to breathe, or you're watching your child and you think, oh, I think that they're struggling to breathe, then that's like a good time, you know, to have an evaluation, make sure that things are going okay. Or if you think like, you know, they're just
dehydrated and too sick, and like some of the symptoms just seem like not what you would have typically expected with other like colds or different things that you've dealt with, then those would always be really good reasons to say, hey, like maybe I should go in and get a checkup and see how things are going.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So, if you have any questions on anything that we talked about today, feel free to reach us here at Siouan District Health Department. Thank you again, Dr. Granger, for providing all of this great information. And thank you for watching. I think that's good. I'll edit some stuff out
Okay.
and put it up.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Was I way too much?
Oh no. It's just the most of the first stuff, I didn't hit
Oh, where
stop
we restarted.
record. Yeah, where
Yeah.
we started a couple. No, but you did great. So
Oh,
that was
okay.
a lot of great information. Yeah, and I did not know a lot of it. So
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, like no, I just was like, oh, maybe I should look up and see. And then I was like, oh, look at all this stuff, and it's been coming out about like things. So I was like, yeah, like I mean, I feel like those are like maybe like new things. So hopefully that makes it more just different, like interesting, for
No, I agree. Definitely. All right. Well, I'll probably get it uploaded next week. I'm thinking maybe Tuesday if you want to check it out. It'll be posted on our
just
website.
on the website.
Yeah, and social media as well. Facebook, YouTube, I think is where we get them posted. So,
Okay.
all right.
All right. Well,